And welcome back to your extended news at noon. Tracy Morgan, of course, in with you. And on the phone with me right now is State Representative Marcy Mostello. Marcy, nice to see you today, or talk to you at least remotely.
Yes, nice to talk to you, too. I can't wait to see you in person.
I know. It'll be a celebratory day when we get to have you in, but we will hopefully get to do that soon.
I want confetti and balloons.
Right. We'll have some trumpets, too. Well, let me ask you, because I know it's been a little bit of time since we talked to you, but how are your days? Do you get a day off, or you're always working? I know you're going to be back in Harrisburg next week already.
No, I'm always working. I mean, our office is still open. Every day we get new calls, new people calling us about their unemployment compensation, their PUA payments, lack of payments. So, you know, every day it's sometimes the same old stuff, but, you know, we're working through it. We're working with Department of Labor and Industry, unemployment, and trying to get these people paid, because I'm sure you've been reading in the paper about the fraud that's been going on. I think the number was $250 million in fraudulent claims that have gone out or have been stopped. So that's what's delaying some of these people's payments, which is very unfortunate.
When you have those kind of claims, not you personally, but when those claims are made, is that money just lost? Is there no recouping that money?
For the legitimate claims, we will do everything we can to reclaim that money. Yes.
But for the fraudulent cases, I mean, when you have a fraudulent case, is that money just gone?
Unless they find a bad guy and that money's still in an account somewhere.
Oh, okay.
They could possibly get it back, but if not, gone.
Interesting. Well, there are a couple things I want to talk to you about. Pretty heavy hitting stuff, and that kind of seems to be your world right now in politics. But let's first talk about elections. I know that's one of the things you'll be talking about next week. First of all, what is your opinion on the mail-in voting, that thought process, that conversation that is out there for Pennsylvania?
Well, the mail-in ballot process in Pennsylvania is different than some of the states. In Pennsylvania, I know some people have been getting mailings recently, and they are to request a ballot. And it does not mean that you are getting a ballot. In Pennsylvania, we're still only doing the application process. In some states, from what I understand, they're actually just sending out ballots to everybody. Right now, they're just getting the application. So it's up to each individual person if you'd rather vote in person or if you want to participate in a mail-in ballot. Now, in Butler County, I have full faith in our election office right now. And they're doing a great job. They did a great job last time, you know, in the spring election when it was the first time they did it. It was a little bit delayed, but you know what? They did a great job pulling it off, and I give them a lot of credit for that. But that's the difference, that in Pennsylvania, people can still request that ballot be sent to them if they don't feel comfortable going to the ballot box or to the poll.
And that's another point that I'd like to stress or talk to you about, is the fact that we can still go to polls, right? I mean, when I got my information that you could request a ballot, it just, and I read over it, it just, my impression was that this is how we're doing it. It's just one option, right? I mean, we can go to the polls.
Oh, exactly. I, from what I understand, every poll is going to be open and manned and ready to go.
So that is one aspect of the election topic. The other aspect of this is the count, because of course the post office has been in the news, the removal of boxes have been in the news, the removal of counters, the vote counters. How does that affect us, and what is your opinion on getting the votes counted correctly?
Well, again, in Butler County, I have confidence in them that they are getting the vote done correctly. I cannot speak for, you know, an Allegheny County or a Philadelphia County, but, you know, here they're doing what's right. Now, as for the count, in when they can open the ballots, as it was in the spring, all those ballots were opened at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they were counted that day. So we're trying to make it easier on the election offices that perhaps they can start opening those ballots earlier. And, you know, put them in a secure room. because if we do get an influx, you know, our county's pretty big. So I can't remember the number of requests that were in the primary, but it was a significant number. So if we can maybe start to count those earlier and also push back the deadline of when you can request a ballot and when it has to be returned, could help our election office get those counted in a timely manner.
Would the mail-in ballots have to be received by a certain date in order for them to be counted on Election Day, or would they have to be postmarked by Election Day and the count could go on after that?
That's what we're going to be discussing. Yeah, I mean, if you recall in the primary of earlier this year, the governor allowed, I believe it was 6 or 8 counties to allow for the count to continue until the Friday after the Tuesday of the election. So, but they had to have received that ballot by Election Day. So that's cutting it kind of close for me. So I don't know. We'll have to see what my colleagues say and what the other side of the aisle is discussing with it. So that is going to be one of the topics, though, Tracy.
Next week when you go back to Harrisburg, you're talking about discussions. Will this be in the discussion phase, or will you get to the point of voting? Where do you think this will go next week?
I believe it will be discussion and then vote.
Okay.
At least I hope it will.
Yeah.
That is my hope.
Yes. Yeah.
Among other things that we're going to be discussing, but this is a very important issue, especially for our election offices statewide.
Let's move on to other discussions that you're likely to have next week when you go back to Harrisburg. State Representative Marcy Mostello with us for a few more minutes. High school sports, that is, of course, high on people's minds because folks want to have sports, but then there's some restrictions. So tell us your perspective on the fact that spectators won't be able to be at the sporting events.
Well, you know, I hate to tie this into it, but when you look at the agreement that some people were made aware of in the past couple of weeks, this Carlisle car show, where they allowed 20,000 people to attend a car show. And again, this weekend, they're having a Corvette show on the same grounds. You know, if we have safety restrictions in place, we have the CDC guidelines in place, I don't see why parents cannot watch their child in sports, whether it's inside or outside. These parents have watched their children grow up, watched them playing sports, events in the band, cheerleading, anything. I don't understand why we can't, and I'm getting so tired of the governor telling us what we can't do and what not to do instead of working with the General Assembly and working with us to figure out a way that we can do things. I am so sick of the can't do attitude from this administration, and we need to work on ways that we can do stuff, that parents can be allowed in the stands over at Art Bernardi Stadium and inside the gymnasium to watch a basketball game. There's no reason for it. If this governor and his administration can sign an agreement for an event outside for 20,000 people, there's no reason we cannot have parents in the stands at a football stadium to watch a soccer match, a lacrosse match, whatever it is. So it's something that really gets me angry because this can't-do attitude has to stop, and working with us has to begin. This conversation has to get started with his administration so we can finally move forward. Keeping safety standards in place. I am not neglecting that fact, but we need to move forward with it.
Do you have any ideas on how to move forward with it? If we were all to be able to have an event, do we do masks? How do you social distance at an event like that? What are your thoughts or your suggestions on how we could go forward?
Well, at an outside event, I mean, you know, technically now we're allowed 250 people, outside at events. So, you know, Bernardi Stadium's pretty big. We could, you know, social distance safely to watch a child play a soccer match, lacrosse match, whatever it may be. You've got two sides. I mean, if you've been in the stadium before, it's pretty big. So we can follow that. We also have the CDC guidelines that we have to follow. Social distance, masks. If you can't wear a mask, if you have a health problem, then you shouldn't be wearing one. But there's CDC guidelines in place for this, and we need to start following them and really working together so that we can move forward.
I want to go back to a point that I'm hearing from you. Not sure if this is part of what you were trying to relay, but I think from my perspective, part of the confusion of how we're living right now is the fact that there are some events going on and other people aren't allowed to have the events. It's the consistency, if you will. I was just in a conversation the other day where it was something simple here at home kind of scenario. I mean, very local. But I even had the conversation of like, are we allowed to do that? Because X, Y, and Z people are, but A, B, and C people aren't, you know? And so how do we get through this time when there's not really consistency on what we're supposed to be doing?
Well, you know, that's my point also in, you know, the transparency of this administration in Harrisburg. We don't know what they're doing. We didn't know there was a secret agreement out there that allowed one event to happen, but we couldn't have the Butler Fair, the Butler Farm Show, Saxonburg Carnival, Parts-O-Rama. There is so much inconsistency with this administration. And, it goes back to, you know, picking winners and losers of what's an essential business, what's not an essential business. So, you know, it's a tough call. It really is. And I sympathize with you, and I understand where you're coming from, that how can they have it and we can't? It's the same thing. Like I said, how can Carlisle have this, but we can't have parents in a stand watching a soccer match at the high school stadium?
Yeah, it gets really confusing. And enlighten us on the details that you are aware of with the car show, in case folks are just hearing about this for the first time, because I understand Wolf did say the other day, I was probably wrong about this. And why was it confidential?
yes, exactly right. From what I understand what this is, the Car Shop Car Event is a huge event out in Carlisle, and it's placed on, I want to say, 87 acres. Now, understand, the Butler Farm Show and the Butler Fairgrounds are over 100 acres. So they had an agreement. And again, there were safety standards in place within this agreement that they could have 20,000 people on, I believe it was 87 acres out there. So that was this secret agreement in a sealed form. It was obtained through a right-to-know request. And it really shed some light on, you know, again, picking the winners and losers with these events. I don't know why this agreement. Did Carlisle Car Show attorneys have more access to more accurate data, accurate facts that maybe the Department of Health didn't have, and they move forward with the secret agreement? But it's very unfortunate, because I'll tell you what, it really economically devastated a lot of our communities here in Butler County, where they did not benefit from an event that had to be canceled, like the Butler Fair, for instance, the money that Prospect Borough lost, the volunteer fire companies who did not, take in any revenue when they help out at these events. Butler Farm Show, Conequenessing Township Volunteer Fire Department, they are, they raise a lot of money at that event. They couldn't have it. But why did Carlisle go through? I really would like some answers as to what was so special about them, and we just didn't make the cut. Why were we, punished in not being allowed to have these events? So a lot of answers to questions that I have.
And I know you represent Butler County, and I understand that. And so when I ask this question, I know you're not here to speak for the rest of the state, but I don't think any other county had that kind of agreement. Am I right?
As far as I know, no. Nope. No other county or no other event, because, I mean, this was just a single event out at the Carlisle Car Show. So, no, no other event or county had any sort of agreement. And we saw what the governor did to Lebanon County. I mean, if you defy his orders, look what he did to poor Lebanon County.
And so,
people should not fear their government. But right now, people fear their government because they do not want their license revoked. They do not want their business shut down. They just want to reopen Pennsylvania safely, get back to work, and, just get back to their lives.
When you go back to Harrisburg next week, how will this discussion come about? Is it, what do you need to determine? What do you need to vote on? Or how does this go forward? Are you just looking for answers and disclosure?
Right now, answers and disclosure, because, I mean, we can't live back in the past. We can't have the Butler Fair again. We can't have the Butler Farm Show. But moving forward, we need to have more transparency. And if this governor is all about transparency, then, you know, he really should have disclosed what he was doing and made it available to all the counties in this commonwealth. It should not have just been out in, I believe, Cumberland County. It should have been made, all of us should have been made aware of this, so that we could tell our own communities, yes, you can go forward, because here's an agreement right here, document signed, that it can go forward. But as far as discussion about that, I don't believe that's on anybody's agenda, but meaning in the legislature
right now.
When we go back, it's going to be more about school sports, allowing parents in, the election, like we talked about earlier with the dates,
yes,
and you know, possibly moving back some of the dates to get ready for Election Day.
Now, is there any other further discussion on schools opening safely? Because we're knocking on the door of first day for a lot of kids. Some kids have already gone back. Will you be addressing anything that has to do with schools in the school year?
No, not necessarily, because I believe each individual school board, they're doing their own thing, and they're doing it the right way for what's best for their district. You know, with Butler Area School District, Carn City, Slippery Rock, so they are, you know, they're moving forward, but no, it is not on any of the dockets right now to discuss moving forward, because we've already discussed it in what they are allowed to do.
Marcy, as we move forward in the next many months and next many weeks, what's on your heart as you go through the decisions that you have to make, or the conversations that you'll be bringing up? What is it that you would like to say to the community here in Butler about your work, and what's on your mind?
Really, what's on my mind is getting Butler County back up and running at 100% safely. So that's really on my mind. It is getting, you know, people back to work, people getting back to what they love doing, opening restaurants again. People want to go out. They want to go somewhere other than the four walls of their house. So, you know, that's one thing. Making sure that our energy industry is up and running again. So, you know, we can have, you know, so we have some, you know, so we can move forward with that also. So there's a lot going on. And again, I've always said this before, it's about listening to people, what they need in their communities. They know to come to me. They call me all the time, Marcy, we need help with this, we need help with that. So it's, but overall, I want to see Butler County get back up and running again safely.
From the discussions that you've had with people, are you finding that folks are still working remotely primarily, or have folks gone back to work? It's interesting to try to find the temperature of the room, if you will, on where we are when you're out in society. And again, it's that inconsistency that what we sometimes hear is not what we see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is both ways. People are working remotely in some cases. Other cases, they're going back to work. I mean, we've got the contractors back to work. Landscapers are back. Everybody's back. But, you know, it's still that they can't go down to their local restaurant and just sit in the restaurant, have a drink, and maybe go home for dinner. So, you know, there's a variety, and people are, you're doing what's best for them.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more question before I let you go, and I appreciate your time. I know you're over by a couple of minutes, and I do appreciate that. But is there anything that the state can do for Butler County because of our drought situation or the lack of rain that we've had in helping farmers or anyone else that is affected by the lack of rain?
Well, you know, when we go back, I will talk to the chairman of the Ag Committee about that. I am on the Ag Committee. I really don't know what we can do with that situation. I'll have to talk to the farmers and see what they're doing. If they're, we've got some creative farmers here in Butler County, just to see, you know, what they're doing to, because I know we got a heck of a rain yesterday, so, and that's not going to make up for a whole summer of no rain.
Right.
So, I would like to talk to the chairman of Ag about that. The one thing also that we're going to be discussing is, you know, possible reimbursements for some of the fairs and farm shows that had to cancel. So, you know, Ag is on the top of everybody's mind since it is the number one industry in Pennsylvania. So I'm sure it will be a topic of discussion.
You're quite busy, Marcy Mostello, state representative. I do appreciate your time. Any final thoughts you want to leave with us?
No, I really want to thank you for taking time to talk to me. And if anybody has any questions, please feel free to call us. Our number is 283-5852. Give us a call. We're right across the street from the senior high school entrance. If you have any questions or concerns, we're happy to answer them for you.
State Representative Marcy Mostello, thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy.